Okay, now last week, we spent some time actually looking at three areas of focus. And the three areas of focus is on your screen right now. We looked at, very briefly, our God. We looked at how awesome He is, how audacious He is. And He expects His people to actually operate in awe and also audacity. And if ever a time we are living, we've got to ensure that we are living an audacious life. That means you've got to be daring. You've got to be bold. You've got to step out and be willing to be different from the norm. And that's true even in the church. Because a lot of the norm in church is not actually lining up to what God wants. And I believe with all my heart that God is out to take His church back and that He wants His will and His way to be done in the midst of His people. Now that will be done in and amongst a set of people who are disciplined. There's no such thing as a Christian life without a disciplined life. And that discipline runs, that thread of discipline runs throughout every aspect of our life and being. And so we focus on our God. That's the most important area. That's the number one area of focus. And I will keep saying that through this year. Because if you do not focus on God, the other two areas, yourselves and others, will be ineffective. It will come to nothing. There's no such thing as I, me, and myself. Well, I've got to focus on me, what I want, and we just come into God based on what we want. That's not how God intends it to be, and that's not the way of Christian living. All right, so we've got to focus on God. And what I've noticed is, and what you've noticed, though, I'm sure, when you focus on God, right, He will tell you about you. He will tell you what to do, show you what to do. And that's some of the words that we flashed up last week, you know, and on Thursday in our, Wednesday in our meeting. I showed you some of the words, you know, and some questions as well that we ought to ask ourselves. When we're talking about focusing on God, what does He want for me? What is His plan for my life? What is my purpose? And my purpose has got to line up with God's purpose for my life. Not what I want, but what God wants. What does He want to do through me? What is He saying to me at the point that I am? So our focus is on God. Can I get an amen? All right. Then we move on to ourselves. Now, all three are important. I said number one is the most, and it is. Right? But all three areas are important. We focus on God, but we also focus on ourselves. And when we focus on ourselves, and we looked at that, I'm not going to go over this. We look at our attitude, we look at, this is where anointing comes in, because anointing is for service. And so therefore, when we look at ourselves, if we're going to be effective for God, if we're going to accomplish anything at all for the Lord, then we've got to take an inward look. And as God speaks to us, when we focus on Him, He will show us. And He will say, well, you know, you don't align in this area, that area, this needs to be done, that needs to be done. Oh, you need to give me praise, you need to give me worship, you need to go here, you need to make that phone call. He will speak to us in different ways. And, you know, we focus on ourselves so that we're building ourselves up in the most holy faith. You cannot focus on yourself without focusing on the Word. And as you focus on God, He will focus on you, and He will also give you His directives. And His directive is always towards others, always towards others. So instructions that come from God will be to build yourself up, but further than that, it will be to reaching others. Because that's what the kingdom is about. The kingdom is about others. Repeat after me. The kingdom is about others. Not just myself. And we've got to really get that in our psyche. And with that, we're talking about being an advocate, being an associate. Okay? We associate ourselves with others. We're an advocate. We reach out to others. Okay? Representing the kingdom. Because God sent His Son to die for the world. Okay? And that's how much He loves. Not Christians, not just Christians, but the world. Jesus Christ died for humanity on the whole. Alright, so last week I read you this poem, Duck or Eagle. Some of you remember it. And from that, I'm going to spring actually into this week, and I'm going to talk a little bit about ourselves now. And I'm going to be talking about, well, who God wants us to be. And the question was asked, am I a duck or am I an eagle? Remember John the taxi driver and what he came across and what he, the changes he made in his life as a result of discipline. He made those changes. And the question was asked, well, are you a duck or are you an eagle? And only you can decide which one you are. So this week, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to you about an eagle believer. An eagle believer. I've preached on this before a few times here. I've preached on it. Last time I preached on it, I think the last time, was actually in a church in Jamaica. Not our church in Jamaica. Another church in Jamaica where I preach. I preach on being an eagle believer. I believe that's the last time I ministered on this. So I've brought today a shortened version, a little bit renewed with these aspects of it. But I want to talk to you today about, well, am I an eagle believer? You know? And why is it the Bible only compares us to an eagle? The only bird that the Bible compares us to is an eagle. Why? And why not other birds? We're going to look into that a little bit today. And I'm going to bring, as I said, a shortened version of what I brought before. Now, God's word compares us to the eagle. Over 32 references are made. Okay? And the Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 31, those who wait on the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Okay? They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. All right? So, this is what the Bible compares us to. This bird, this majestic bird. So we're going to take a brief look at this bird and also other birds and see why the Bible doesn't compare us to other birds. And then we can make our judgment calls from there. Now, the eagle is a very, how can I put this now? It's a very well-known or very respected bird. So much so that many coins all over the world have the eagle on it, but also many flags throughout the whole world as well. Some of them are flashing up on the screen. Only some, not a lot, are flashing up on the screen. Some of the countries that have the eagle on their flag. And, you know, they have it there because they recognize that there is something about the eagle that is different from other birds. There is something about the eagle that they want to be representative of, or they want their country or their states. It's not just countries. But you see, some of the flags are actually some of the states of the United States. They have the eagle on their flag as well. So we're going to talk about that today. And we're going to look at very quickly, very briefly, the five plights, or the five P's, sorry, of the eagle. The five P's of the eagle. And that's coming up now. So the first one is the eagle's purpose. We're going to look at these briefly. The eagle's perspective, eagle's perception, the eagle's position, and the eagle's plight. And as we look at these, I want you to compare yourself and ask yourself the question that I asked last week. Am I an eagle believer? And that's a question I want us to ask this week. Am I an eagle believer? Do I see the qualities and the characteristics of this bird? Do I see them in myself? So let's have a look at the first P. And the first P then is the purpose of an eagle. All right, let's make this declaration together. Repeat after me. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Can you say it a bit louder? In the name of Jesus. I declare that I'm an eagle believer. All right, now you've said it out of your mouth. Okay, so let's believe it. So even if we see that there are characteristics that don't line up, we can adjust, we can change. Amen?
Amen.
All right, good. Purpose of an eagle. First statement on there. An eagle that does not fly cannot fulfill its purpose. So we as believers, God wants us to ride high. He wants us to fly. And that's the first point. Very important point. As simple as it may sound. The word eagle comes from the Hebrew word, I believe that is nesher, right? Which means terror with the beak. I think that's very significant. Because God has given his people power, right, with the words of our mouth. And we know this already. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat of its fruit thereof. So we know, Proverbs 6 and verse 2, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are caught by the words of your mouth. So we see that the words of our mouth can produce good, it can produce bad. The good things can happen, bad things can happen. Depends on how we use our mouth. The eagle is, the word eagle means a tearer with the beak. And with our words we can tear down, and with our words we can build up. And we ought to be doing both. We ought to be tearing down those things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. How? By using our mouth. And we ought to be building up ourselves and speaking and declaring and professing our future. How? By the words of our mouth. A man cannot have until he first perceives in his spirit what God has provided for him. And so we've got to perceive. William Blake said that. And so we've got to perceive what God has for me. What is God's purpose for me? What has he got lined up for me? We've got to perceive it. And then we've got to pursue it with everything that is within us. All right. So, purpose. The eagle builds its nest with its beak. The eagle also kills with its beak. I believe I just said that. The eagle feeds with its beak. And on the screen you'll see several scriptures to back up what I'm saying. Proverbs 18:21, Psalm 19:14, Proverbs 6 verse 2, Psalm 34 verse 1, Psalm 37 verse 30 to 31, John 6:63, and also Matthew 4 verse 4, which says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What proceeds from the mouth of God, God wants his people to take it in, write it on their heart by using their tongue, Psalm 45 verse 1, and then declare it out of their mouth, profess it, confess it, create the path for the future that God has already aligned for you in his purpose. That's what he wants us to do. So, the eagle cannot be easily caged, this bird. And as a matter of fact, there have been some records that have been, that I've read, I've come across on the internet some years ago, some records that a particular eagle was placed in a cage, but it's not built to be placed in a cage. An eagle is not built to have limitations placed upon it. It's built to soar, and to soar high. An eagle is built to fly. And this eagle that I read about, it actually tore up the metal cage that it was in. It destroyed it. Why? Because it was not built to be caged. It was built to fly. And it cannot fly in a cage. And so it destroyed it. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 11 that the eagle stirs up its nest and it hovers over its young and it carries its young on its wings. I went on the internet. I actually found a picture, but it wasn't clear, so I didn't put it up there, of actually an eagle that has carrying its young on its wings. So the Bible says it. I only found one picture. I couldn't find a lot. But the one that I found was not, it wasn't clear. It was blurry. But it was actually a picture of an eagle carrying its young on its wings. And so that's what an eagle wasn't meant to do. Okay? It's purpose, and we've got to fulfill our purpose. I've got to ask you the question, what is your purpose? Are you actively pursuing God's purpose for your life? Do you know it? If you don't, what are you doing about it? Okay, and you've got to actually wait on the Lord as well. I think I said this last week. You've got to wait on God, okay, until he manifests or he leads you or he opens whatever doors for the thing to be manifest or for you to go through so that your purpose can be actualized in your life. And so, the purpose, that's the first P. I've got to go through this quickly. The second P is the perspective of an eagle. The perspective of an eagle. How does it see? Well, let's look at some facts. Eagles have been have keen eyesights. They're able to spot prey from at least 10,000 feet. And that's a long distance for any bird or anything to actually be able to spot their prey. But they're able to do that. Eagles, once paired up, they've been known to stay together for life. For life. So until one of the pair dies, they are together. They are renowned, as I said, for their excellent eyesight, especially the bald eagle. The bald eagle is renowned, especially out of all the eagles. The bald eagle is said to have the best eyesight. And so it's absolutely important that we as Christians, we have our spiritual eyes open, that we can see in far distance, that we can perceive things, that we can also pick things up. And that's why the Bible compares us to an eagle. So our perspective, our sight is also good in Jesus' name. Amen. All right? Eagles have eyelids that close during sleep. For blinking, they also have an inner eyelid called a nictitating membrane. It's not the only animal that has that. Sharks have that. Camels have that. And there are other birds as well that have that. Crocodiles have that as well, nictitating membrane. But the eagle has that. And that nictitating membrane is like a white shutter that you'll see sometimes when you look at an eagle or you look at any animal that has a nictitating membrane. It's a membrane that goes up and down. What it does is it cleanses the eyelids or the eyes of that animal so that it will be able to see. It removes whatever there is that's in the way so that it can see. And physical as well as spiritual sight is important to the believer. I haven't got time to read these scriptures, but I put them there, Psalm 119, verse 18, and Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18 as well. Spiritual sight is important for every believer. Do you believe that, church?
Yes.
We've got to be able to see. Thank God for physical sight, those who have it. And we can see it through the physical, the natural things around us. But that's not enough. For the church today, for the believer today, you've got to be perceptive. You've got to have insight into what is happening in the realm of the spirit. Got to. All right. So, the perception of an eagle, the third P. The perception of an eagle. All right, so eagles are not distinguished for their hearing, but this does not mean that they have poor hearing. So they may not be very strong in the hearing, but they do have hearing. Okay, diurnal. They are known to be diurnal. That's active by day, and prey, birds of prey like hawks and eagles use their hearing to locate their prey, and also to locate other birds as well. And that's important. Now, what am I saying here? I'm saying that even though, okay, the hearing is not good, it is still valuable, and they still use it, okay, to accomplish whatever they need to accomplish. Now, we as Christians, we may not hear everything every single time, but again, just like how I just said a while ago, our spiritual eyes need to be open. Church, listen to me carefully. Our spiritual ears must be open as well. Otherwise, you won't be able to perceive what is said. You won't be able to hear in the realm of the Spirit what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. So our spirit has to be alert to the things of God. This is why fasting is good. Now, I know many people think fasting is bad. It's not bad. It's good. Because fasting helps you to differentiate between the flesh and the demands of the flesh and the spirit and the demands of the spirit. When you fast, you put your body under subjection and under discipline away from the thing that it naturally desires so that your spirit can be open up to hear from God and to see into the realm of the spirit what God is saying. Are you with me, church? And that's why we need to fast. That's why we're in a period of fasting now. And by the way, fasting is not an optional extra. Every Christian needs to fast. As a matter of fact, whether it's a corporate fast, a church fast like what we're in now, or not, if the only time we fast is when the church calls a fast, and we're not fasting enough. We need to fast and we need to pray, especially the times in which we're living in now. We've got to make sure that our focus is God and on God and with God and doing the things of God. And that we're at a place where we're hearing from Him, where we're perceptive in our spirit to be able to hear what He's actually saying to us. And so I cannot overemphasize the importance of actually hearing in the realm of the Spirit what God is actually saying. And that's logical, really, because if you don't hear from God, then how are you going to do? How are you going to know? How are you going to get your direction from Him? So when God speaks, He wants us to hear. Otherwise, what's the purpose of speaking? Doesn't make sense, does it? All right, good. So, in order to receive, we must be able to hear the Lord. I think I just said that. John 10:27. Our hearing has an impact on our lives. And you better believe that that is true. Mark 4:24. We must be eager, James 1:19 says, to hear. We must be eager to hear. In other words, our spirit should be desiring to hear from God, not just hear from the natural things around us. And that's so important. John 10:27. Let me read the verses. I've got them here in my notes. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Mark 4:24. Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. James 1:19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to wrath. Slow to speak and slow to wrath. So we must have our ears open. P number four, the position of an eagle. These are shortened because this usually is a 2 or 3 week teaching. I'm giving it all in 1 week. The position of an eagle. How does the eagle compare to other birds? Why doesn't the Bible compare us to other birds? Well, let's have a look at some of the birds that the Bible does not compare us to. Chickens. Come on, everybody say chicken.
Chicken.
Chicken. Chicken believers can't fly. They only flap. You know, we raise chickens. I've lived in Jamaica for 10 years and 2 days to be precise. And I've seen chickens. We've raised chickens and we've seen the most a chicken can fly, and it usually does fly when it's scared or something else is running after it. It will fly and then drop. Fly and then drop. And it won't go up high into the air. It cannot do that. But it will just run and then fly a little bit and drop. That's the most it can do. They can't fly. Not like an eagle. Nowhere near an eagle. They can't fly like other birds. Chicken believers scratch and have no depth. Chicken believers live in confines called coops, built by other people or others, built by others. So chicken believers, or chickens really depend upon humans, okay, for their confines. We're not. We depend upon God. We depend upon God. The eagle builds its nest, but it builds it up high. It's not reliant on human to build nests for them. They build it themselves. Chicken believers make a lot of noise when the storm is coming. And right now the sound is in my head. You know, sometimes all we need to do is when we hear the chickens just making a lot of noise, we don't see any sign of rain or storm, but we know that it's coming by the sound that the chickens are making. And then, lo and behold, half an hour, within the hour, rain begins to come, the clouds begin to come, rain begins to fall. The chickens saw it a lot before they come up. When the storm comes, all they do is make noise. That's all they do. But the believer, the true Christian, can have perfect peace even in the midst of the storm. So right now, folks, some of you may be going for a storm right now, and I don't see anybody shouting or getting crazy, you know, because of what's happening or what's happening. You know, you just have your perfect peace. And you know what? You say, the Lord is in my life. And so therefore, I'm going to have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Are you with me, church? And that can only happen if you have Christ and His Word abiding in your life. So we're not chicken believers. Yeah, many storms, but we're not panicking. Recession. No. We're not panicking at all. Because God is with us and God is for us. And it's not that you won't go through hard times. It's that God is with you when you are going through those hard times. It's that God has already prepared the answer and a future for you. When you're going, you see, you may not know what tomorrow holds, and you may be going through certain stuff right now. We're not denying that. We're not denying that at all. These are the realities. Storms are real. But what we're not denying is the presence of God. What we're not denying is the promises of God. Because God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And now he expects us to trust him. And when you're trusting, you're resting while you're going through that storm. Rest in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your paths. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. All right. The peacock is another bird. The peacock believer is a flashy bird. Ah, no. What is it doing? Oh, no, it's right. That's right. It's a flashy bird. It loves to show off. The peacock believer is an overly ambitious bird. All it does is talk about itself, talk about what it wants to do. And all it does is dress in such a way that outwardly it knows it's a beautiful. Have you ever seen a peacock in real life walking? Yeah. Man, I've been to the zoo and I said, when we look at the peacock, it didn't have its feathers out, it just had it in. Then when it noticed that people were looking at it now, it's almost like it just opened it up and it just strut itself. Look at me. I'm more pretty and beautiful than all the other birds. Yes. Fix your eyes upon me. Fix your eyes upon me. I'm beautiful. I'm majestic. I'm wonderful. Look at the crown on my head. None of the other birds have that. You know, it's a flashy bird. Loves to show off. And pride is resident in any believer that operates like that. And it's not characteristic of an evil believer, which God compares us to, which the Bible compares us to. So we ought not to be like the peacock in Jesus' name. We are not like the peacock. Now, the penguin, what about the penguin? I've always said about the penguin is a bird that's with its three-piece suit, it's all dressed up and ready to go nowhere. Ready to go nowhere. Always has on its three-piece suit. The penguin can't fly. He can't fly either. The penguin, the believers, live in just one atmosphere and thrives in one atmosphere. It cannot rise to heights that the eagle can. And so, I don't know what else I've got there up there. The macaroni penguin, it loves its ornaments. Just like the peacock loves to be dressed up, it loves its ornaments as well. And you see that right there on its head. No, I won't bother read the notes in that. The pelican Christian, the pelican believer, goes around eating. You know, there are believers today that go from church to church to church to church to church to church and not seem to be settled anywhere at all. Not seem to be thriving where God's planted them. Not seem to be developing and growing and giving up their skills and their talents. Just go around. And I know people like this, you know, that just go from place to place, from place to place. And that's not good. God has not called us to be pelican Christians. I put this up there because I thought it was interesting. There are about 8 species of pelicans. And one of those 8 species, okay, the male does not take... Generally speaking, pelicans do take care of their young together. But there's one species that actually doesn't. Doesn't take responsibility for its offspring, and it doesn't take responsibility for its surrounding. It just seems to go and eat what it can eat, get what it gets. It's concerned about itself and not its partner and not its offspring as well. Okay? It leaves that responsibility to the female. And again, that's why the Bible doesn't compare us to pelicans, because we are not a pelican Christian. We take responsibility. Can I get a loud amen? Amen? We take responsibility, folks, and we operate in it. And that's how God wants us to operate, like an eagle believer once again, and not like a pelican. We don't just go around creating whatever and just eating, and not giving back and not looking after our area of responsibility. No, God wants us to be eagle believers. And that's what the Bible tells us. Now, parrot. The parrot believer is pretty to look at, but guess what? It talks a lot. Just talks. Anybody own a parrot before? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know we have. Yeah, and Some parrots, you can train them to talk. Others, others don't. You know, there's so many different species of parrots. But we had a parrot, and our auntie as well had a parrot that lived long, actually. And both parrots, especially Auntie Laura's parrot, could talk. And that bird, even sometimes you won't understand what it's saying, it will just talk. But sometimes when you go, you do understand what it's saying, it will just repeat what it's learned and just say it for no reason, no purpose. Just say it, just talk. And parrots have been known to let out secrets. People talking in rooms, hearing things, and the parrots, they're learning their words, and then they're just repeating. The parrot may not even understand what it's doing. It's just hearing and learning and then repeating. And then it's just squealed on people that were talking or saying something privately. Parrot believer is pretty to look at, but talks a lot. Eagle believer, not so. We know how to use our tongue. We know how to control the faculties of our being. What about the pigeon Christian? Pigeon believers leave droppings which are of no use to anyone. They do more harm than good in society. And that's true. We heard people over the years, I'm sure you have, complain about droppings, pigeon droppings on cars, and how difficult they are to take off, and expensive, and damaging. Sometimes the paintwork comes off when you try to clean off a pigeon's droppings. That's why sometimes, well, maybe back in our day when we were driving under a bridge, nobody wanted to sort of stay under a bridge when they're driving their vehicle. They wanted to move out fast because you might just get a dropping on you. By the way, has anybody ever had a pigeon poo on you? Mm-hmm. Me, Simone, Claude. Oh, quite a few of us. Yeah, I've had that. Not nice, is it? But thank God that can clean off. Well, that's what pigeons do. They leave droppings. They make deposits in society which are of no value. No value whatsoever. I was watching this documentary some years ago. About 3 years ago. Someone went into a big warehouse. I can't remember the name of the program. Doesn't matter. But the bottom line is this. The warehouse was laid empty for years. And what was happening was pigeons lived in there. And pigeons, just at least 3 years, that place was empty. Pigeons were there and they left so much dropping in this large warehouse, bigger than this room, large warehouse, so that when the people went in the warehouse to clean it, to clear it eventually, I don't know why it was sitting there so long, there was so much mess and so much muck that, number one, they had to wear masks. Number two, they had to put on gloves, because the droppings became, the scent wasn't good, and they believed that it could be also damaging as well, poisonous, if you like, to your body. And it took them shovels upon shovels upon shovels. I don't know how many days it took them to clear, but it took them a very long time to clear. Now listen, we are God's children, and God has placed value inside of us. And wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you say, you are people of value. Can I get a loud amen? Amen. You are people of value. And so therefore, what comes out of your mouth, listen, church, is of significance. That's why you've got to watch your words and weigh your words and be careful what you're saying. You are of significance to God. God has deposited good in you. Whatever comes out of your mouth has an effect, not just on you, not just on others that maybe you're speaking to, but also on your environment. So you leave, or you have the potential to leave good and not bad in your environment. You add to your environment and not subtract like the pigeon does. Are you with me?
Yes.
So remember that. Let me read this. I saw this in my notes, okay? Pigeons carry significantly more diseases that are harmful to humans than rats. And yet, we wouldn't think of feeding a rat, because people feed pigeons. More than 40 known diseases can be transferred from pigeons to humans. And I think that's a significant statement, really. Pigeon believers congregate where they can get free food. Pidgin believers mumbles and grumbles a lot. And I'm sure you know, we're all familiar with pigeons, so we know that when you go near them, sometimes you just hear them, they seem like they're mumbling, like they're grumbling. Just there, just mumbling and grumbling, for no apparent reason. But they seem to be doing that. And they congregate where they can get free food. We used to go to feed the ducks with our kids when we were smaller. We bring the grandkids sometimes. And not brought them for a little while now. But sometimes when we go to feed the ducks or go to feed the swans, we also see pigeons there. And pigeons congregate where the ducks are because they know free food is coming. They have only, pigeons it says, they have only 37 taste buds. Do you know how many taste buds you have? Over 9,000. In your body, you have over 9,000 taste buds. They have only 37. And they gather where they can get free food. But the Bible teaches us that what? We should work for our living. Isn't that right? That we should labor with the work of our hands. And so therefore, that's why, again, a few reasons why we're not compared to a pigeon in the Bible. But we're also not compared to ducks. And we saw that and we heard that last week. I don't even need to say too much more. Ducks make a lot of noise, and there's so much more we could say about ducks as well. But I want to close with the fifth P today, and I want to really mention the plight of the eagle. And this is important because when we talk about the plight of an eagle now, we're talking about the challenges that an eagle might face. We're talking about the enemies of an eagle. If you're going to be an eagle believer, you're going to have enemies. You're going to have things that come against you, people that come against you that don't want you to soar for Jesus Christ. You're going to be criticized. That's just one of them. And you're going to have to make your mind up. Look, listen, as long as I'm a believer, I'm going to be criticized. I'm not going to be liked. I'm not going to be accepted in certain schemes, in certain realms, in certain places, with certain people. That's what's going to happen to me. There are certain plights that's going to happen. So let's have a look at the plight of the eagle and the enemies of the eagle. One of them is the serpent or the snake. What does it do? It goes after the egg of the eagle. Satan will go after the vision of the Christian. The seed of your vision, which is carried around inside you for months, maybe years, will be stolen by the enemy. What does the Bible say in Mark chapter 4? When the seed is sown, when does the enemy come? Immediately. To steal away that which was sown. So the word of God is sown, the word of God is being sown now. Watch out for the enemy, because he will come immediately to try to steal away whatever the Holy Spirit may be speaking into your hearts as you compare yourself to this majestic bird, the eagle. God wants you to be like the eagle, but you're going to have enemies that will come. And some of those enemies will come to steal away your vision, steal away your purpose, steal away your fruit. All right. Let's move on. The condor. The condor is, the largest vulture. That's it. I know they had a record. Because I think the condor has, if not the largest, one of the largest wingspans of any bird in the world today. It cannot, though, look at the sun like the eagle can. Mm. The eagle is built to look at the sun. The condor can't. So the condor might look like an eagle, might fly like an eagle, but guess what? It's not an eagle. Because there are certain things that the eagle can do that the condor cannot do. And one of them is looking at the sun. What do we do as believers? We look at the sun. We look to Jesus Christ. Why? He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Why? He is the one who is building the church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So even though the condor might look like an eagle, big like the eagle, fly like the eagle, it is not an eagle. It cannot look at the sun. And this points to me, in my mind, about the importance of relationship. When we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we have access to God through him. When you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you do not have access to Him. You don't. People can talk about God, talk about God, talk about God. But unless you are walking with God, unless you have a relationship with Him that is real, that is genuine, it's just talk, and that's where it stops. One president, I've got it there, haven't I? Yeah, this guy here. Benjamin Franklin, one of the US presidents. This is what he said, I'm going to read it. He said, "I wish that the bald eagle had not been chosen as a representative of our country." He's one of the few people that have actually had anything negative to say about the eagle, and he was wrong. He is a bird of moral, bad moral character. He does not get his living honestly. You may have seen him perched on some dead tree where too lazy to fish for himself, he watches the labor of the fishing hawk. And when that diligent bird has at length taken a fish, he is bearing it to its nest for the support of his mate and young ones. The bald eagle pursues him and takes it from him. Besides, he is a rank coward. The little kingbird, not bigger than a this man really had it in for the eagle. I don't know what the eagle did to him, but he really had it in for him. Isn't it amazing how people sometimes can see all the bad in an individual? This guy saw all the bad in this bird, but not the good. But anyway, he goes on to say, he is therefore by no means a proper emblem for the brave and honest of America. For a truth, the turkey, this is what he said, a turkey is in comparison much more respectable bird and withal a true original native of America. Was that his problem? I don't know. A bird of courage and would not hesitate to attack a grenadier of the British Guards who should presume to invade his farmyard with a red coat on. Now, this guy didn't have, I've read that and I've put that there because this man, even though he was in a powerful position, knew very little about the bird. What he saw was a negative and he repeated the negative. What he saw was all the things that was bad about maybe what he witnessed in his life. He saw an eagle maybe taking prey from another bird. How many people know that the Bible says, "I went to the enemy's camp and I did what? Just watch them and said, oh, God bless you. What you took from me, have it?" No, he took back. Folks, today we're going to go to the enemy's camp in Jesus' name and take back what is stolen from us. Can I get a loud amen? Amen. You think about your life and what the enemy has robbed you of. You think about what he has stolen from you. And you don't be like this guy here that just criticized the eagle without having a full understanding about the purpose of the eagle. Well, his words came and they went nowhere. Because even today, as I said and I showed you, the eagle is still an emblem, a symbol of significance to many countries on their flags and on their coins. So Benjamin Franklin was wrong. Now listen, you were created to fly. I repeat that, church. You were created to fly. The Bible compares you to an eagle, majestic bird, strong, powerful, good sight, hears, and able to hunt prey with their hearing. Hearing may not be as good as other birds, but it's still good and good enough, as you've heard me say, to hunt for its meal. Now, you were built for success. You were built for success. As a matter of fact, can you repeat after me? Repeat. I am built for success.
I am built for success.
Say it again. I am built for success.
I am built for success.
Now, does it look like it at the moment in your life? Maybe yes, maybe no. But it is not what it looked like. It's what it is. You were built for success. You were built for success. And so success is yours. That's not me saying it, you know. It's the Bible saying that. You are more than conquerors. Not conquerors. You are more than conquerors. Can you say with me, I am more than a conqueror.
I am more than a conqueror.
Through Christ Jesus.
Who loved me.
And died for me. And rose again. That's what your Bible teaches. So you are of significance to God. You are of significance to this world. To those around you. They need you because they need God, and they need you to lead them to God. And that's why, again, our focus is not just on ourselves, but on others. And I said to you last week, and I'm going to prepare something, and I'm going to, as we go through this year in 2025, we're going to stop, pause, evaluate ourselves. How are we getting on in our walk with God? What is He saying to us? How are we getting on in our development? Am I investing in myself? Am I disciplined in my Christian life? Am I disciplined in every area where I ought to be disciplined? How's my food intake? Am I eating too much? Am I fasting enough? Where am I spending my money? Am I spending it at the right places? My time. Time is more valuable than money. Money once spent can be re-earned, but time once spent is gone forever. How am I spending the time, 1,760 minutes is it, per day that God has given to me? How am I spending it? We're going to stop and evaluate and watch and see ourselves. Am I growing? Am I changing? Am I developing? Am I becoming who God wants me to be? Or am I just drifting? Drift into church. Just drift into one day to the next, 1 month to the next. And before you know it, the year is finished. How many people have put away their Christmas trees? All right, how many people have not put away their Christmas trees? All right, me and Garfield, enjoy. Well, we two are one. We've not put our Christmas trees. As a matter of fact, I've had conversations with Joy. I said, look, time is flying by so fast. Should we just leave it up? I think, to be honest with you, a bit of laziness coming across because, you know, there's so much work. I don't know, maybe I'm lazy. It's so much work to pull it down and to put it up and take down the lights and take down the bubbles. I was even thinking, I didn't say this, I was thinking of just getting a white sheet and just covering up over and let it stay there. And then when people come, we just say, well, guess me this riddle. I'll tell you in December what it is. But I think we'll have to take it down. You may use your skills for gain, but it is God who gives you the ability. Please remember Deuteronomy 8:18, because that verse confirms this point. You shall remember the Lord thy God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may establish His kingdom. So listen. So God has given you the ability to get wealth. Okay, you get that through primarily through your labor of your hands, your work, you get money, so that God, as you work and you get, God expects you to give to His kingdom, so that He, God, may build His kingdom. All right? Or as the verse says, yeah, establish, that He may establish His covenant as it is with you today. So remember that. The ability that you have to gain anything is God who gives it to you. So remember to honor Him. Remember to bless Him. Remember to give some back. Remember to give more than just the tithe. Remember that. In Malachi chapter 3, people were rebuked not just for not tithing, but also because they didn't offer their offerings to God. And you can't offer offerings to God without giving Him what is His. That's not the order of God either. But that's a different subject for a different day. You remember that? You were built with capacity for vision. And we've said enough about that. And we're closing now. Hearing from God is vital for your direction and future. I'm just repeating some of these key points that you need to really remember. Hearing is vital for your direction and your future. If you don't hear from God, how are you going to get direction from Him? How are you going to know which way to go? How are you going to know? You need to hear from God. Please don't make the mistake other people have made time and time again. Well, I prayed about it. You prayed about what? It. You prayed about it. Yeah, and what has God said? Then question marks, no answer. If you can't open your mouth and say what God has said, you're in trouble if you're going to make a decision based on you just bringing it to God in prayer but not hearing from Him. That's a big error that people make in their lives. I've seen it over the years time and time again. Your mouth should be used, I'm reminding you, to pull down strongholds and obstacles and to build things in your life and others around you. Feed yourself and others around you with the Word of God. And there is those scriptures that we saw once again. As God's child, you have the ability to see what others cannot. And I'm closing with the first scripture I read, and that is on the screen now, Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And our prayer should be, Lord, teach me to walk and not to run ahead of you. Teach me to walk with you, Lord. God walked with Adam in the cool of the garden, cool of the day in the Garden of Eden. And God wants us to walk. God's the only intent for man, one of his intent for man is to have fellowship. Just to have fellowship, exchange going on. God still desires that as he had desired it from way back there in the beginning. And my prayer, folks, is that as we go through 2025, that we will learn to walk with God. We will learn to wait on him and to mount up. Remember I said to you last week, it wasn't on the script, but I said it to you last week, that Isaiah 40, those who wait on the Lord, that word wait is the Hebrew word kawah. You remember that, church? You remember that? Kawah. What does kawah mean? To twist. To twist. That's what it means. It means to twist around so as to make strong. Where is it twisting? Well, the Bible says a threefold cord is not easily broken. So as you wait on the Lord, what are you doing? You are serving him, but you are also binding yourself, if you like, twisting yourself with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay? Or you can say, take it however you want to take it. You're twisting yourself with the Word of God and with prayer. So you, the Word, prayer, a threefold cord, not easily broken. A one-fold cord, yeah, it is easily broken. You can even snap it, depending on how thin it is. But once you bind them together, it becomes stronger, and the three becomes one. And that's how God wants us to be. He wants us to be one with him, one with his purpose, one with each other, one with his love. And may God help us in our journey with him.